Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 1 is where we are going to take our text. Today we want to continue to speak on the series of messages I started last week on the wilderness. And our subject today is welcome to the wilderness. Welcome to the wilderness. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, and please underline ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, and please underline many, or with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent, and I want you to know that these things were our examples. The wilderness experience is our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. It goes on and on, enumerating the five problems that God had with them in the wilderness. Okay, but let's jump to verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he falls. Hallelujah. All right, so the Bible is giving us a very wonderful understanding about the wilderness, and I want to share this series with you because God wants us to survive the wilderness. He wants us to keep faith even as we go through our wilderness experience. God expects us that we will be full of faith, unlike the people of Israel. They lost faith, and because of that, they could not enter into the promised land. So it is important for all of us, every believer for that matter, to understand the wilderness and be able to survive the wilderness and keep faith whilst you are going through the wilderness. Now, last week, we looked at the subject, the subtopic of promises, and today we want to look at the welcome. Now we have been promised the promised land, and we want to enter into the processes of obtaining God's promises for us. Now we ended saying last week that one of the greatest all-time promise that God made is to take us from a status of oppressive servitude to a place or a status of being kings and priests on this earth. God wants us to move away from servitude to a position of being a kingdom priest. All right, to a place where we are kings and priests on this earth. He wants us to move from Egypt, which is a type of the world system, to the promised land, which is a type of the kingdom system. Now, in between the promised land and then the promise is the wilderness, as I've tried to illustrate here. God gives us a promise. We have to move through the wilderness, and it's a 40-year long period. 40 spiritually is a number of transition. So we have to transit through the wilderness into the promised land. Actually, if you know the structure of the Bible, you get to understand that Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and Revelations chapter 21 and 22 forms a complete story, as it were. If you read those chapters, you get a full understanding of what God is about. Because Genesis 1 and 2 tells us about God's state that he wants us to be in, really. And then between Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelations 21 and 22 is a long period of the wilderness. So from Genesis chapter 3 right to Revelations chapter 20, the whole earth is in the wilderness, so to speak. All right? From that place, we get to understand Genesis chapter 3. We see a wilderness setting in. We see, as it were, the serpent gaining mastery. Because the wilderness is a place full of serpents and scorpions, right? So right from Genesis chapter 3 to Revelations chapter 20, we still have the mention of the beast. You know, we still have the mention of the beast. To Revelations 20, we have serpents to dragons to beasts inside the wilderness transition period. But I believe that God wants us to be able to move from whatever promise that he has made unto us to our promised land, to the place where God ideally wants us to be. In Revelations chapter 21 and 22, we see us humans being kings and priests on this earth as the Lord wanted. But in between Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelations 21 and 22 is a long period of the wilderness. Okay, so with this understanding, I want us to just understand or get to emphasize the point that the wilderness is the period between the promise and the promised land, or between the world system, Egypt, and then the kingdom system, between the word of God coming to you and then having a practical realization of God's word over your life. Now, the wilderness is something that is inevitable. The wilderness is in everybody's life. God led Israel into the wilderness. If you read from Exodus chapter 15, and I want us to go there, we will stay in Exodus for a little while. Exodus chapter 15 and then verse 18. Exodus 13 and then verse 18. Exodus 13 and verse 18. The Bible says that, but God led the people about. Who led the people about? It's not the devil. It is God. Hallelujah. God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. So it was God who led the people to go round. He was leading them by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. And when the pillar of fire in the night moves, then the people moved. They just followed the direction of the pillar of fire and then the pillar of cloud by day. Okay? So it was God who led Israel into a long wilderness. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, in the Gospels, that Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. Even Jesus, the sinless Son of God, has to go through the wilderness. Okay, so the wilderness is inevitable, and there is a wilderness in everybody's life. It is generally a period when things go wild in your life and things are uncontrollable. Generally speaking, it seems that God is not in control. God is not reigning. It will seem to you that you are not reigning, that faith is not in control. It will seem like something else is in control of your life and of your finances and of your ministry, whichever aspect of your life that you have received a promise on, a promise from God's word, a rhema word over your life. There is coming a period where it looks like you are not in charge. Something else is in charge. And not just that, it will even look like God has lost control over the whole thing. Okay? So, it is a period that we cannot avoid. Now, there was a wilderness in the life of Abraham. In the life of Abraham, we see that when he was 75 years old, God appeared to him, made a promise unto him. But it took Abraham 25 good years by the age of 100 that he received, in practical terms, the promise of God. So it means that from age 75, for 25 good years, Abraham has to be in the wilderness where it seems to him that God is not in control, neither himself being in control. Now, Israel also had a wilderness, as we have read about. Israel was promised in Genesis chapter 15 that they were going to possess the land of Canaan. They were given a big promise. But God told them that before the promise came to pass, they were going to go through a 400 years really of slavery in Egypt. Now, although they had received a promise over their life that God was going to bless them, they had to go through the wilderness for 400 years. In fact, it ended up, according to the book of Exodus, to be 430 years before they went out of Egypt on their way to possess the land of Canaan as God promised. There was also a wilderness in the life of Joseph. Joseph was promised that the sun and the moon, the ruling elements in this world, are going to bow. In other words, he was going to rule over the sun and the moon. But suddenly, after the dream, after the promise, he found himself being a slave. In fact, he found himself despised by his own brothers, by the system in which God had put him to nurture him and nurture, as it were, the promise of God. The system became hostile. So they sold him and they put him in a pit. He found himself in a pit where he could not even see the sun and the moon. And they had to take him out of the pit and sold to a strange land. And then he became a servant in somebody's house. Somebody who was supposed to reign and become a ruler over the ruling elements of this earth, the sun and the moon, suddenly finds himself being ruled over. But the Bible says that after the word of the Lord tried him, the word of the Lord came to pass. He actually ruled over this earth through the superpower Egypt at that time. There was a wilderness also in the life of David. David was anointed the king of Israel, or first of all, the king of Judah. But he had to go through many years of running away from Saul. And during such times where you are not in control and it seems like God is not in control and everything has gone wild, it looks like the promise is not going to come to pass. But we all have to translate
through the 40 years. We all have to pass through the 40 days. We all have to pass through the 400 years. We all have to pass through the wilderness where they are serpents, they are predators of our lives, predators of the promise, that wants to eat up the promise, that want to eat us so that we will not survive. But I believe God wants us to survive the wilderness. He wants us to live through the wilderness in spite of the dragons, in spite of the serpents and the scorpions that are over there, the beasts of the field. God wants us to be able to take His promise and transition through the long period of wilderness. And there is a wilderness also in the life of the modern day church. Because the Lord has promised the modern day church that we are going to reign with Christ on this earth. We are going to be kings and priests in real terms on this earth. But for 2,000 years, we have been ruled over by the world.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. But the word of God is sure. The word of God is true. We have to pass through this wilderness as a church, universal church, where it looks like the promise of God is not coming to pass. Rather, we are attacked by serpents and the beasts and dragons and scorpions. We have to go through this long period, 2,000 years of the world trying to push the church under, of the church not reigning. But I believe that God's word is going to come to pass for the church and for all of us. Because like Abraham and Israel and Joseph and David and the church, we are going to realize the promised land. What God has promised for your life, whether it's in your finances, it's in your marriage, whichever aspect of your life it is, you are going to survive the wilderness and you are going to obtain the promise in practical reality in your life. Look at the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. In 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon is praying a summary prayer about the goodness of God, summarizing Israel from promise through the wilderness to the promised land. And this is what he has to say. 1 Kings 8 and then 56. He says, "Blessed be God that has given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised." According to all that he promised, there has not failed one word of all his good promise. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. What was the promise God made to Israel by the hand of Moses? That, "Lo, Israel, God has visited you and he is taking you from servitude into the promised land." And there were many promises as we went through last week. God is fond of making promises. And Solomon over here is praying a summary prayer, summarizing Israel from promise to the promised land. And he says that there has not failed even one word of all the good promises of God that he made unto Israel by the hand of Moses. And I want to say the same thing to you, so that you'll be able to survive the wilderness. Because if Israel went from promise through the wilderness to the promised land, I assure you that you will also get to the promised land in the name of Jesus Christ. No matter how things may seem right now in your life, I want you to know that there will not fail even one word of all of the good promise that God has spoken to you in your heart, that God has spoken to you through his word. We are in a position of the realization of the promised land in the superlative, in the highest ever expression, because we have got the Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible calls the Spirit of God the Holy Spirit of promise, not just because he was promised one more time by the God who likes making promises. He was promised by God, describing him as the Spirit of promise, but also he is called the Spirit of promise because he is the one through whom God is going to bring his promise and his word in your life to pass. That is why when Mary received that promise that you're going to bring for the child, and she said, how shall it be? The angel said that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of promise, is going to come upon you, and you will see that what I have promised you will become a practical reality. Although it will defy the mind and science, yet the Spirit of the living God, who has been shed abroad in our hands, who is not just upon us, but within us, if you are a believer, that Spirit is going to bring God's word of promise to pass in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want us to go into the nitty-gritties of the subject for today. And we want to look at some characteristics of the wilderness. As we go through this, please remember that the wilderness is just a transition period. But we need to be able to survive as far as our faith life is concerned in order for us to be able to get to the promised land. So what are the characteristics of the wilderness? Can we learn from the wilderness experience of Israel? Yes, we should. We should, because the Bible says that all these things in our text, all these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our understanding and our admonition, our instruction, that we will know what we will also go through, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In other words, as we get, the world is folding up and we are getting to the end of the age, the wilderness period is going to be something that is rife in the life of believers. Hallelujah. The first thing I want us to understand about the wilderness is that it presents the opposite of what we have been promised. The wilderness presents the opposite of what we have been promised. It presents the opposite of what we have been promised. Whatever promise that God has made over your life, the wilderness is going to be a shocking contradiction to God's promise. But hold on in faith, because you are getting to the promised land. Whether it's in your finances, in your gifts, spiritual gifts, natural gifts, in your ministries, in your relationships, in your marriages, in the salvation of your loved ones, in securing your job satisfaction and fulfillment in life, you are going to experience shocking contradictions to God's promises. But these things happened unto them for example unto us. Can you imagine that the Lord promised Israel a land flowing with milk and honey? But in the first place that he led them to, there wasn't even water. Yeah, because if I have been promised a land flowing with milk and honey, at least as a sign, there should be some water so that we can know that milk can be made. Somehow. A land flowing with milk and honey. Yet God takes them to a place of no water. It was a shock to Israel. It was a shock. It just shook their faith.
Remember, they didn't have, as it were, the Bible to encourage them. They didn't have even many people to tell them that this is the experience. They didn't have anything. Sometimes we read Israel and we want to just say that they were a bunch of people full of unbelief, and we castigate them and things like that. Here we are struggling still with faith. Anyways, minus me. Hallelujah. Although we have the word of God and experience of people who have gone ahead of us. We have got many pastors. They say there are too many pastors. But it's not too many. But they are all around. They are all giving us a word. They are all encouraging us left, right, center. Yet. But Israel did not have anybody. It confused them. And up to now, the wilderness confuses the people of God. So they get overthrown in the wilderness. But it shall not be your portion in the name of Jesus. It still confuses people who are following the Lord on an adventure. Let's put adventure in inverted commas. Because faith is not an adventure, because it's a certainty. But humanly speaking, faith is an adventure. It is like one of those adventure films that you watch, and there are people who are looking for a treasure, and they are walking through the wilderness, and then a lion comes. They have to kill the lion. They are crossing rivers. They have to climb mountains, and we call it an adventure film. I mean, this was the wilderness for them. It was a place that was barren. It was a place that was full of deadly things, predators, and they had to pass through, cross things and stuff like that. The Christian life, humanly speaking, is an adventure. It's an adventure because it has an element of uncertainty from the human point of view. That is an adventure for you. Because they knew Egypt. As slaves, they were sent everywhere. They knew every corner of Egypt. But here they are, they surrender their life to somebody who has not even gone through the wilderness before. He is taking them through a vast wasteland of animals, beasts of the field. And that is an adventure. He tells them that I am taking you to the promised land. Sometimes people see the Christian life that way. They think that, well, it is an unknown journey. This promise that you have received, nobody has ever received a promise like that before, at least not in our generation, not among your peers, not among our peers. And so they see your life as a life of adventure. Now it's full of contradictions. The Bible actually tells us that the first 3 days of this adventurous journey, there was no water. And I want us to try and understand how great this trial was. Try and understand it. Have you ever tried going without fluid for 1 day before? Have you ever tried not drinking water, but you are walking? You are on the move, full of uncertainty. Moses himself doesn't know where he is really going. He is relying on God as he takes the step. And here they are, walking all throughout this desert of harsh weather, so to speak, without any water for 1 day. You get up the next day, you are moving on. No water for the second day. You get up again the third day, and you haven't drunk water for 3 days. You get to the end of your limit as far as what your body can take is concerned. Your survival, your living as a human being becomes at stake. 3 days of no water, of no fluid. Just try for some few hours and see how great this trial was. 3 days. So their survival, in a human being, there is something we call survival instinct. It is an instinct when you are being threatened, your life becomes at stake. It becomes a life and death thing. Unconsciously, you react in a certain way.
Sometimes you shock yourself that you spoke like that or you hit the person like that, but the thing, you had reached the limit of your survival as a human being. As if you are dying, you have to live. And that is what Israel went through. And that is what you will go through. So, the pitiable thing was that on the third day, when they reached the place that they saw water, and all of the little children were told by their mothers and their fathers, "Don't you worry, we have seen some water." Because the children were crying all over the place. "We have found some water." They go near this water. Exodus chapter 15. Turn your Bible there. They go near this water. And this water is not drinkable. It's bitter water. Bitter water. Bitter water. And their children look at this water. And all Israel look at this water. And their expectation is so dashed.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.